I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus from the city of Abuja, from your other brethren and siblings in the faith. Praise the Lord. I want to start on this note by asking the question, what is the aim of ministry? Or let me put it in a more relatable sense. What is the future of this church? What is our goal? Where are we heading to? What's our aim? What is the future of the church, the Newbury Christian Community, Port Harcourt? The future is more disciples. Say after me, more disciples. I know you've been complaining about the heat, right? It has been very hot, right? You will not know. I have a quote from a guy called Hamatan. You will not know what you lost. You will not know what you have until you have lost it. Who got that quote? But well, this particular heat actually inspired me much more than we think. So I'll begin my sermon from there. I actually got a report that disturbed me. It actually said that the temperature in the north in Nigeria has hit 41%, 41 degrees Celsius. And the temperature in the south has hit 37 degrees Celsius. And what do they call the people that do weather forecast? What do they call the people that do weather forecast? Well, the guys that do weather forecast have predicted that the temperatures are not going to come down anytime soon. And when I saw that report, I got disturbed. Because in the Bible, their subject or their hints in the Bible that suggest that's one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. One of the signs of the end. So the Bible teaches that the first world was destroyed by water. That the flood destroyed the world. But the Bible also teaches that the first world was destroyed by water, but this world will be destroyed by fire. And when the heat starts getting intense, is a sign that the earth is already preparing for its own end. Did you hear what I said? 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, that's a more biblical way of saying, what goes around comes around. Nothing changes. Money makes the world go round. You hustle, all I want to do is to hustle and get my own 2K. You know what I'm saying? You talk about Jesus and Christ and salvation, and they look at you like, what's wrong with you? See, when money, it's all about what can you get? Ah, Valentine, God, when? I want to marry this one, that one. And so they say, for where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And so many people are tempted to fall into that trap of thinking that the world will continue the way it is and things, nothing is changing. It's just the way it is. Are you with me? The routine of life. He's saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's telling you the mechanism, that's the spiritual language of how the world was created. That by the word of God, the heavens were created. As old as it was created, and the earth, God made it to stand out of the water. And yet, it's in the water. So if you dig the earth, you will find water. It says, whereby the world that was then, which being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Oh, so the reason why there is a delay in the coming of the Lord is because God is waiting for men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is patient because God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you following me? Are you with me? But that all should come to repentance. So the reason why it seems like the coming of the Lord is just delaying and delaying and delaying is that God is waiting for men to come to repentance. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Now, this should tell you something. See, tell your neighbor, take your walk with God serious. I want you to tell your neighbor, take your walk with Jesus serious. I know you are wondering, you saw in the title that today's service is called Agape. Pastor is coming to preach about second coming. Don't worry, I will talk about it. And on or before 8 o'clock will be done. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about this because the Lord has pressed on me to talk about it. I woke up this morning and the Lord said, there is no more time. It's time to run. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's time to run. Gone are those times where you say, oh, in the next 10 years we'll do this for God. It may not come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may never meet it. Oh, in the next 5 years I will get this done for the Lord. You may never meet it. And let me tell you something, when you see Jesus, you will wish you can run back to the earth and do more for him, but it will be too late. When you see Jesus, you will discover that everything you pursued apart from him was not worth it. When you see Jesus, you will discover that everything you pursued that was not him was not worth it. Your marriage that was outside him was not worth it. Your relocation, your japa that was outside him was not worth it. Let me tell you a secret for life. Any state you find yourself in, plenty or in poverty, in sickness or in health, any state you find yourself, make sure that no matter where you find yourself, you are on the run for Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No matter where you find yourself, make sure. I came with this apostolic message from the Lord. There's no more time. It says, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now everybody read the next one. And the elements shall melt with what? The elements shall melt with what? Fervent heat. What does it mean, elements? The things, the sun, the moon, the cloud, everywhere. It will melt. Heat will melt it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Read on verse 13 with me. Nevertheless, we according to his promise. Oh, shall glory. Read it again. So we are, when it means we look for a new heavens and new earth, meaning we are expectant because it's coming for us. I said we are expectant because it's coming for us. Let's go back to that verse 11. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? So, what kind of person are you going to be if you knew that in the next 8 months there will be no more earth? You know, I told the Abuja church, I said, I'm going to announce to New Breed, we must have an expansionist mentality. Expansionist mentality. You have to tell yourself that before Jesus comes, there are some things that must happen. Number one, I must be a massive attractor of souls to the kingdom. Now, if you think that I'm just saying this to psych you up to just bring people to church, well, you are free. Are you following me? But that's part of it. But the reason for that is what I'm saying. Are you following me? You don't want to stand before Jesus and you did nothing. Number two, you must vow that my life will reveal all that Christ died for. Are you following me? Except I mean, in the name of Jesus, number one, I will be a massive attractor of souls to the kingdom of God. Number two, my life will reveal all that Christ died for and resurrected for. And number three, many lives will be inspired by me. So that means if God has given you things to do, ideas, visions, I'm telling you the word of the Lord, start now. Seeing that the world will be born to ferment it, what manner of persons you ought to be? What kind of person will you be? How will you handle your work with God? Will you say, oh, in the next 10 months, I will not be a serious Christian? Or when will you start? Look at this year. 46 days have gone. We have 320 days left. 46 days has gone. But today is already finished. You can do the maths. I've done it. When will you take your work with God serious? Or are you still doing eye service? My God. Please. The time to brace up is now. Destiny knocks at your door. Destiny from heaven knocks at your door. The time to brace up is what? Now. Now. All those times that you feel, those dreams of how you will pray long is now. Praise the Lord. So what's the future? I started by asking the question, what's our future? How do you know we are making progress? We have more disciples. See, that's the most important thing. That's why we are here. More disciples. Say after me, more disciples. More people who are coming to know about Jesus, embracing him as their love, growing in him and living the life that he died and resurrected for. That every day we have more people who grow up in grace and stature, that when they look at their lives, only God could have done this. I was going to tell our guys in Lagos that Lekki Church will start ending of April. Now, I will tell them, once I go for Pastor Eni's wedding and have a meeting with the Lekki guys, I'll bless them. You are free. Start now. Glory. Glory! It's not just for the sake of, we are putting branches. It's an expansionist ideology. That souls, expansion is ideology, souls. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, souls. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let your life be worthless. Don't let your life be worthless before Jesus. Don't stand there. Hey, God. And God will ask you, how many people came to know about me because of you? How many people? Now, you can say, you can come for our services and say, oh, I've been so blessed by a new breed, the word of God here. Yeah. I just want to ask you, okay, how many people have experienced what you are experiencing? What will you tell them? What will you tell him? Some of us, we need to wake up in a place of prayer and start praying. Praying seriously. Let something new rise up from your life. You cannot continue like this. Are you hearing me? Something new. Tell your neighbor, something new must rise up. Something new must rise up. Some of you need to wake up and pray and pray and pray. Some habit needs to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know that this habit is limiting you. This lifestyle, this way that you are going on, you can't continue like this. You know, somebody was telling me about how, in my place of prayer, I've been discerning that the devil is bringing one old tactic that he used before. And it's not because of Valentine, no. I'm telling you what I sensed in the spirit. So in prayer, I sense that there's an old tactic that the devil has. It's called sexual immorality. That wave is coming back. So as I was praying, I'm like, I thought by now, people would have passed that level. Like, what is going on seriously in the country? What's going on in the world currently? By now, nobody will be struggling with that. He said, my son, leave that thing. That tactic is coming back again. And I've come to send a warning. Any one of you that Satan is trying to bring, just now, pastor came to warn you. Don't follow. Don't give it space. No grief for Satan. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. There are some of you. God is saying, you see this you're drinking. It must stop. This alcohol, it must stop. It's not taking you anywhere. Whoever that is for, receive it in Jesus' name. So I came to urge you because right now, there is a shift in the spirit. You know, let me tell you, there are three sets of people. When it comes to the move of God in any generation, there are some people that have no idea that anything is happening. They don't know. They don't even know that anything is happening. Do you know that when Jesus was born, wise men came from the east. They traveled all the way down to look for the Messiah that was born. But guess what? There were people in that city who were neighbors to Jesus but did not know that Messiah had come. Do you know that? They had no clue. They slept in the night. And they were so deep in sleep that they did not even wake up. They say, what is shining like that? Maybe they woke up and saw one bright light. I said, maybe somebody is pointing, is using fire to do something. And went back to sleep. But the shepherds that were awake, they kept their watch at night. They said, something is there. That means if you're not awake, Jesus can be born and you will not know. He can be your neighbor and you will not know. Do you hear what I said? There is a mighty revival brewing in the spirit right now. Something is boiling in the spirit. In fact, I was telling my wife, the way I'm sensing it is the same way I sensed it in 2020. Something happened in 2020. You know the funny thing? Even what I'm saying now, some people don't even know that anything strange happened in this country in 2020. They don't even know. They don't even know that there was a move of the spirit around the world in 2020. That shook. They don't know. So that's the first set. They don't even know that there's anything happening. The second set is that they have an idea, but they don't do anything about it. They just feel like, I remember the way I was feeling. I said, I'm feeling something like lockdown. I told my wife, the way I was feeling 2020 before the lockdown is the way I'm feeling now. So the second set, they don't know. They sense something, they can feel it, but the third set, they know, they sense, and they are following, they are acting. You are part of them in the name of Jesus. So tell your neighbor, take a walk with God serious. Now I want to encourage you, don't let anything distract you. You may not have gotten a car, you may not have gotten a wife, you may not have gotten a husband, you may not have gotten a Valentine, whatever. Your account, your bank account may not be where it ought to be. Don't let it distract you. Are you hearing me? See, God is not a man. He can set you up in one day. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. So say after me, Lord, I'm ready to follow you. As you move in the cloud, I move with you. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be discouraged. Praise the Lord. And so in our walk of discipleship, one of the things we must do is to emphasize what Jesus emphasized. And recently, you know, in the month of January, we learned about faith, right? I hope you have not forgotten. In the month of January, we learned about what? Faith. It was titled Audacity, Faith for Quantum Leaps, right? Look at how the year is already running. Like, when did we do Happy New Year? We already do 1 month series. Imagine. But in the month of February, now, the natural tendency is to start teaching about marriage and home, like many ministries are doing, and rightly so. But God made us take a different turn to talk about love. And as I study about it, the more I'm studying, the more I'm seeing that, hey, maybe we are not talking about this thing enough. I'm telling you, maybe we are not talking about love enough. For instance, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 6 that faith worketh by love. Can we put it on the screen? James, Galatians 5 verse 6, please. Galatians 5 verse 6. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. For in Jesus Christ, the popular faith scripture, Mark 11 from verse 22 to 24. This may just be the reason why a person's faith may not be working. 1, 2, 3, go, everybody. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Read on. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Read on. Are you seeing this? Now, he finished talking about prayer and faith. And the next thing is, when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. That means if you stand praying and you don't forgive, there may be a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to open a verse of the Bible. It's not in my note, but the Spirit of God is pressing me to open it. Help me look for it. It says, when you come to offer a gift at the altar and you remember that you have an issue against somebody, do you know what Jesus said you should do? He said, keep your gift, oh my God, and go back and settle with your brother first. Then come and offer your gift. Now, oh my God, think about it. If the issue or the grudge you had with your brother was not going to be an hindrance to your prayer and your gift, he would have said, you know what, give your gift, round up your praying, then go and settle with your brother. Instead, he said, if you came to pray and you came to offer your gift to God, as you are about to offer your gift, you then remember that you have a problem with somebody. He said, go and settle first. Oh my God. That means if you are a person who keeps grudges, and you think that your keeping grudges and your unforgiveness and your unlovingness will not affect your prayer, you are joking. Did you hear what I said? Matthew 5. Thank you. Please, let's open it. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 from verse 23. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee. That means you have an issue against your brother, or your brother has an issue against thee. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First us be reconciled to thy brother. Look at that statement. First. Say after me, first. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It seems as though God needs to receive you before he receives your gift. Yes. God needs to receive you before he receives your gift. So if there is unforgiveness, if there is anything in you that contradicts with his nature, he will tell you, go and settle with your brother first, then come and offer your gift. That means if the settlement with your brother, or if the reconciliation was not going to be an issue, he would have told you, finish your prayer, finish offering your gift, then go and talk to your brother. But now we said, leave it there. Guess what? Some people, the thing they offer to God is still hanging. God has not received it because they have not settled with their brother. Some prayers they have prayed, maybe it is still hanging because they left their gift there, but they have never gone back to settle with their brother. On Sunday, we'll talk about forgiveness. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you see someone who is a master in keeping God grudges, a master in not walking in love, that means you are also a toddler in the things of the spirit. When I saw how serious these things were, I said I will preach it. I will so preach it that you have two options in this church. Walk in love, option A. Option B, choose option A. I'm telling you. It will be so difficult. Let me tell you. I want you to fly with God. How many of you have had a situation where you quarrel with somebody, then you now started worshiping? You know the kind of effort you have to put that one in one side of your heart for you to focus. You know it's not easy. Yeah. So that means if you teach faith and you're not a man of love, your faith will not work. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that even if I have faith to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Those are serious statements. You know, let me tell you something. Human beings naturally have a natural disposition to cherry pick. Or a natural disposition to say, I will do this one, I will not do this one. So in people's minds, love is just a small thing, but faith, prayer, killing the devil, stab him, let him die. Praise the Lord. And so, we'll be talking about love. And for our midweek service, we'll be talking about agape, the God kind of love. Glory! 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 The God kind of love. I'm still going to show you before I even go back to it. Because when we talk about God kind of love, if you have noticed, our major text has been 1 Corinthians 13, right? We will so read that thing, it will become your life. You will sleep in the dream and you'll be seeing it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let me show you one more. 1 John chapter 4. Let me tell you something. Love is one of the most difficult subjects to preach. Because even me, the pastor, Jesus. It's as if when I want to preach about something, God will just put me in a position where I have to practice what I want to preach first. How many of you are blessed on Sunday? Love is a law. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. That was the commandment he gave us directly. A new commandment I give you. So something happened in Abuja. One of the young men that plays instruments for us, he annoyed me. In fact, he annoyed us. He annoyed me, Pastor Ikini, and Minister Adaiso. Like, we're so annoyed. He did something very wrong. If I tell you, you'll be very annoyed. Like, you'll be very annoyed too. And so, we said we'll discipline him. And so, disciplining was just a very simple, it was not a serious thing. We just said, okay, from next time, you will not go to that place again. That was all. But a part of me was feeling that discipline is not enough. Give me something that, as I was thinking about it, like, what else will I do now that this guy will learn his lesson very, very well? As I was thinking about that, the guy just came and knelt and I said, Pastor, I'm sorry. You know the natural thing, what the natural man would do? Say, no, you never start. No, we don't worry, we need to. As I was thinking about that, the Lord said, so you will finish, you will do what you want to do now, Then you will not come and preach about forgiveness on Sunday. You say, carry on. Ha! I was like, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God. As I was still thinking about it, I'm like, but God, you see what he did now? Like, I need to show him that. Then the Lord knocked him again. You just finished preaching today that love is a law. That you, nobody has an option. You must love. See, if you don't love, it is that serious. You are breaking the law of Jesus. You are breaking the law of Jesus. I'm telling you. So there are many people that will say, oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I will obey you. Just say, see, calm down first. If you don't love, you are breaking his law. So that means, before we even talk about marriage and home, hey, God. If you have not perfected love with your fellow believers, you are not ready for marriage and home. 1 John 4, verse 17. It says, hearing is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Glory! Say after me, as he is, so are we in this world. That is something to rejoice about. Oh. That as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Hey. Do you realize that he did not say as he was? He said as he is. That means, actually, if the Bible said as he was in this world, so are we in this world. That's great enough. Because remember, before Christ ascended and walking on the earth as a normal, as a human being, you remember when he was in the world, multiplying loaves of bread, if he said that is who you are, that's already big enough. Are you following me? There was nobody that came to him for a healing and he said, go, I don't have the answer. That means if we are going to be the way he was in this world, that means we can never be stopped. We can never be confused. I'm trying to give you something to work on, to hold on to. A key to hold on to. I can never be lost. I can never be stranded. I will always have the answer. Because as he is, so I am in this world. But guess what? Jesus Christ died and arose and went to heaven. And he did not say as he was. He said as he is. Now in heaven. Oh my God. That's the level. There is nothing that is impossible for us. Something, nothing is impossible for me. Praise the Lord. But guess what? If you go a verse earlier before this verse, you will see also an additional context to what I just explained. It says in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, he is. God is love, right? So as he is love, so are we love in this world. I'm telling you, I discovered that you cannot study this Bible, and sincerely study the Bible, especially the New Testament, and not come out as a product of love. You can't, except you want to deceive yourself. I saw another one in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. This one scared me. Everybody read. 1 Peter 4 from verse 8. 1 Peter 4 from verse 8. He says, and above all things, above all praying, above all worshiping, oh my God, above all evangelism, above, oh my God, above all things, have fervent charity. That means the same way you will call your prayer life fervent, your love should be called fervent. Have fervent charity amongst yourselves. My brother, come. That means from now henceforth, when he says have fervent charity amongst yourself, you will not see a brother in church or a sister in church and just say, hello, just stay there. Let me tell you who relate in church. Let me tell you how their love is in church. That is if they even talk at all. Hey, God bless you. That is if they talk at all. Oh. That is if they talk at all. Oh. I and that sister, we know they see eye to eye. I and that brother, we know they see eye to eye. They just go like that. They have a cell who they talk to. And even the ones they talk to, they are not so, there is not so much depth between what they do. Are you with me? There is no depth. But look at what the Bible is saying. It says, have fervent charity. So you come like this. Ah, brother, how you doing? How is everything? I see you are new in this church. Ah, it's been long. What's your name? Tell me, what's your name?
Emmanuel.
Wow. My name is David. You're welcome. Give me your number. Then you give me the number. as I'm going back home. I say, ah, Brother Emmanuel, how are you doing? How are you doing? I just wanted to check on you. Then Brother Emmanuel to say, I like that guy. Then tomorrow to you, we carry your own phone. Brother David, bring your own phone. Brother David, thank you for inviting me to that church. Thank you. You don't know what to say, right? You are starting. It's called Fervent Charity. Then you see Brother Emmanuel, man, I need to get him a new shoe. Brother Emmanuel, what's your shoe size? Tell me. 42. Okay. Okay. I have 5 shoes. No, I will have to give Brother Emmanuel 1. Are you following me? Please celebrate Brother Emmanuel. God bless you. It's a new day for you. Fervent charity. Tell me, fervent charity. Let me tell you, when you want to be fervent in charity, you have to train yourself not to discriminate. God will help us. This love thing, God will help us. Have you seen where, maybe you will come to a church, then, man, will I use the pastors? Let me use the pastors. So come. Pastor Faith, Pastor Wisdom, come. So, now, we started together. They are my clique, right? Then, Pastor Wisdom, we are all a clique. We are the ones that run things, right? Amen. Power! Then, somebody new now comes, maybe in the unit, now comes. And then, after a while, there's this temptation to say, who is this new person, sir? This new person. Let me stay with this one. Stay with my clique. We are the ones that run things. That's not fervent charity. Fervent charity is this. Come, you are part of us now. We are family. We are family. We are family. Glory! This time, you please be seated. Glory! That's what's called fervent charity. Not that you just say, now we. Where does one come from? You just won't come to show himself. Where does one come from? No. Fervent charity is you make other people come around you and feel loved. Are you with me? They come around you and wonder, I just came. How come they are just holding me like this? Some of you in this church, unconsciously, have you not felt that from me? Just see Pastor David. You are a new member. Pastor, welcome and meet you. Hey, how are you doing? I go to talk to you like say you be dicking. Say, by now, you're supposed to have brought 10 people in this church. You know it's called? Fervent charity. I cannot be doing discrimination among people that God has sent me to lead. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I love you. Now, am I saying that I'll be perfect? No. Sometimes they'll be annoying. I'm telling you, right? You tell this person, brother, come to church. Why didn't you come to church?
But I just tired. Oh, my God, they called this morning. They called. They called and tell me, I know if he come.
Praise the Lord. Say after me, fervent charity. Let me tell you, if we do this again and again, after a while, do you know what will happen? The Spirit of God will begin to work. The grace of God will begin to increase. That's why the devil will keep on fighting the love work in every church. That's the number one thing. And I'll be preaching this thing, I think, every three months. My God. Every year, before we talk about marriage at home, we will slam this one again. Until it takes over you. Sometimes I see people, even ministers. How will you talk to another minister like that? You know, there are people that when they talk to you, you prefer to hang yourself. They will just use soap and omo and wash you down. 1 Corinthians 13. Can I be honest? I miss you guys. Hi, Jesus. Is what it is. And it's not even getting funny. That's why when I come for midweek services, you will see, Trump is spreading the word. Because it's getting harder for me to come on Sunday. It's becoming more harder. Praise the Lord. However, I'll be doing everything within my power to be coming special meetings. So, prepare to have many Sunday evening meetings, Friday meetings. This time Monday is April 1st, right? That day, just prepare. Don't worry, I've calculated all the dates at the end of this year. So, prepare. We'll have Christ Life Conference that day. I will try to see if we can do the evening that for that day. That's March 31st, April 1st. The Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me tell you something. The truth is this. I alone cannot love the whole church. Pastor Wisdom, our resident pastor, cannot love everybody at once. So this is what I want us to do. Pastor Wisdom will love everybody in his sphere of influence. All of you that have been receiving the love from him, you will spread the love. And they will spread the love. Tell your neighbor, spread the love. This is why we must have home sales, because we must come and know you in your house. Let's bond in the house. Let's bond outside this place. Church must go beyond the four walls of this building. Amen, all right? 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1. Agape is the Greek word for the God kind of love. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Verse 2. Ah, Jesus. Sounding brass. Tingling cymbal. Jesus. Hey! Do you know what this means? This is actually a spiritual write-up. That means if you are keeping quarrel with somebody, and you are going, Zebarakata, Ebarakata, what are you having in heaven? Ping, 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 ping. God is saying, waiting be that. Waiting be that. Repeke. Akato. Iketepetkato. Jaketepelakatoma. Imatakapa. And in your mind, man, your father. And you're like that. What is coming to heaven is, ping, 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 ping. God is asking, Angel Michael, is that a prayer or what? Or Nokia ringtone? What is that? What is that? Whereas somebody is likapalakatalia, full of love. And God is saying, talk to me. I can hear you. Talk to me. I'm coming in your favor. Talk to me. Tell them I'm a man of love. As though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Hi. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. When you go into the depths of the troposphere of God, there are levels in that spirit where you float like this. Dimensions. Equaduma, lakatoka. He said, if you have no love, you are nothing. Those verses should make you scared. I'm telling you. So do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and do I give my body to the born and have not charity? It profited me nothing. How is it possible for you to give your body to be born? Yes. Some people can go all the way to do things that look like sacrifice just to get a name. God, just to get a name. Then they will not start reading it. Do you know how I went out of my way for that person? I paid their school fees just for the name. I have not love. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you guys. Tell somebody beside you, I love you. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. This one, I like to preach on it. It does not vaunt itself. It doesn't try to make itself feel better. Just make itself. You are. There's some people. If you're around them, they have a technique, a skill, a gift. To make everybody know that I am the best, all of you are after me. Tell people. New breed. This thing happens in churches too. Let me tell you something. Any pastor that acts as though their church is the best church and every other church is nonsense, run away. That's the spirit of Satan. It's called the body of Christ for a reason. New breed is one of the great churches that God will use for the coming of Christ. Are you hearing me? In a short while, before Christ comes, we'll be at the forefront of the gospel. In a short while, there is no venue on this earth that will be able to take all of us. Something is not only yours. I don't act as though I'm the best. And that spirit of the best. The Bible says if we compare ourselves to one another, we are not wise. I can be better than I was yesterday. But I will not try to prove that I'm better than you. Even if it is true, keep quiet, no loud am. The Lord. Go back to verse 5. Praise the Lord. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Some of us, God will help us. Thinketh no evil. Some people, they are always suspicious. Sometimes you have to be rightly suspicious for the sake of security. But some people, they don't trust anybody. Thinketh no evil. Everything. You know, even this thing, God will help us in the name of Jesus. There are some people, You see a boy and a girl talking. The only thing that comes to your mind is they are doing bad thing. You cannot think that they are praying together. You cannot think. Thinketh no evil. So everything is evil, 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 evil. Somebody comes to greet you. He wants to ask me for money. Everything evil. Somebody gets close to you. They want to destroy my anointing. Evil. Everything evil. In your life, you don't trust anybody. In this life, don't trust anybody. This is super story. My son, I want to teach you a lesson. Lesson number one. Can I shock you? See, there is a way you would think about something so much, you begin to attract it. Oh my God. If all you think about is evil, you will attract evil plenty. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Go to the next one. Rejoice not in iniquity, but in the truth. Now, this is the balance. Because some people think that love means when something is wrong, we cannot talk about it. Rejoice not in iniquity. So, love is that, you know, I used to tell people that I correct. I said, if I don't love you, I will not talk. If I don't love you, I will just say, okay. Rejoice not in iniquity, but in truth. Love is not saying that you see somebody misbehaving, say, I love him, so I will not, I don't want to make him angry. The person is misbehaving. Gently, I'm collecting people from this side. Let me come to this side. Let me collect somebody I know is not misbehaving. Praise the Lord. And so let's assume your head is touching. And you are misbehaving. I'll say, my brother. Any, maybe better my brother, my son. Please. Please, this thing. This thing. You can't continue like this. Are you following me? I love you. I cannot allow you go into destruction. I cannot see your life upside down. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. That's different from false fighting and witch hunting. Say, see him now. See him now. You don't start. Don't worry. You know some people, anytime they see a great person rise, they are waiting for the next story of downfall. People like stories that talk about people's scandals. They will share. You know, recently there was a movie that came out about a certain man of God that people believe is fake. Now, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't want to care what they think. Me, is he fake? I don't know. Is he true? I don't know. Where will I have a lot of work in my spirit to do. I will not be wasting processor space. Time and energy I'm supposed to use, I'll be praying for you. I will not go and be checking. Is that one fake? Is that one real? Are you following me? Can I shock you? Somebody asked me, Pastor, have you watched it? I said, I have not watched it. I'm not planning to. He will give account for himself. Me, I will give account of the one God sends to me. They will share. You will see them share. But that same person, his church, we're having a program. You will not share. So excited about people's downfall. So excited about people's problems. See, you see that guy? He was driving his car everywhere. Now he has an accident. And you'll be like, see, this life, nemesis. This life. Come, have you heard? Have you heard? Wahala, don't boss. Something good will come out. You will not talk. No. Tell them, I rejoice in good. Glory. The next one, please. I want us to round up. If we can't finish next week, Thursday. Oh, this one. Everybody read this one. Bear it all things. You can bear it. A person of love. Somebody confides in you. Can you bear it? Somebody comes and tells you, I just messed up. The person is already telling you that he messed up, that he needs help. Some people cannot bear it. See, you are the one spoiling Nigeria. You are the one. You just expose people. People cannot confide in you. At every slight opportunity, you expose them. Can you bear all things? A person of love, you can bear all things. That's a very serious statement, though. I don't even want to press it too much. Somebody annoys you. You say, I cannot take it. You can take it. You are a man of love. You can take it. Somebody says something to you. Everybody's holding you not to fight back. I'm going to show him. And you can bear it. You can bear it. On the road, somebody hits your car or annoys you on the road. Say, you're mad. Today, I go beat you for this road. You are not shy in church. Maybe head of a service unit. You want to try me? You can bear it. Calm down. You can bear it. Don't disgrace the name of Jesus there. After me, Lord beareth all things. I've seen, you know, I went for a minister's conference last week, and the pastor was talking about how there was a time in the United States, you will see many of the healing evangelists, before they go in for the crusade, They had a misunderstanding, and two evangelists were fighting at the car park with punch. Boom, boom. Came on the stage and were healing the sick. Before the end of those revivals, those people, their ministries disappeared. They filled out of ministry. Beareth all things. Let's go on. The next one. We are in 7, right? Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. I will end on believeth all things. A person of love, you have to believe all things. In terms of, now when it says believe all things, it doesn't just say any evil you hear about somebody. That will contradict the context, right? Let me give you a better understanding of this. So they tell you that this guy who has been misbehaving has decided to change. You say, I no believe. If you are a person of love, you believe all things. Have you realized that? For many of you, no matter how much misbehavior you've done in the past, anytime you seem to stay, you want to take God serious, God takes you serious. Have you had a situation before where you wanted to pray and you were always missing your prayer time? Then you say, oh God, wake me up by 3 o'clock. God did not look at you and say, now you won't start. Since 2020 something, I have been calling you to pray. You were not serious. It's today you want to be serious. Instead, after you made that prayer, 3 o'clock he came to wake you because he believes you. He believes you. Say after me, God believes in me. Oh, you say, I've been struggling with this, but God, I want to stop. And he begins to make ways for you to stop. You know what? He believes you. Many of you have had this situation before. You say, Lord, I want to give you this seed. And you did not have the money. Oh, God, if you give me this money, I will do this for you. And some of you, God brought the money and you did not do it. Then the next time you vowed again and God still brought the money. You know why? Even though you disappointed him the first time, he still believes in you that you will do it. He believes that you can do it. So when I see somebody come to church and the person does not look like a serious believer, maybe the person looks like he's struggling and his walk with God is just one kind and all of that, and the person says, I want to take God serious, I don't look at him and say, after serving the devil, you want to come here? After serving Satan like this? Well, let's see if you are serious. No. I believe the person. I believe in the person. Jump on your feet and thank him. Say after me, I'm a man of love. I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love. Thank him right now.